Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
I'll be the first person to complain about the heat when temperatures start climbing into the 90s and above, and St. Louis humidity decides that hitting high numbers is a competition. But I also know that there are people who aren't merely annoyed by the hot and the sweaty. Their health can be seriously compromised by it. One factor that places folks at greater risk of heat-related illness is medication. It's a subject our next guest understands well. That's Catherine Gilmore, clinical assistant professor at the University of Health Sciences and Pharmacy in St. Louis. She also works as a pharmacist at a community clinic that serves North City and North County. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
So let's start with the basics. What is heat intolerance and how common is it?
Yeah, so heat intolerance is where you can experience any sort of discomfort or distress because of heat. So your body can't cool down as easily as it should, which can ultimately put you at risk for heat exhaustion or heat stroke.
Mm-hmm. What are the symptoms of heat intolerance?
Yeah, there are several symptoms of heat intolerance. Most commonly, you'll see nausea, blurred vision, dizziness, dehydration, and a lot of those symptoms can change depending on the medications that you're on and just how your body is responding to those.
Mm-hmm. Before we talk, that is, about medication more, what is it that predisposes people to heat intolerance? And is it different from what I had noted in the introduction about my being like weak sauce about heat and humidity?
Yeah, I mean, everybody responds to everything differently. And especially with medications, no two people can respond the same way. We have side effects that have been studied and documented associated with things, but just because it's listed as a side effect does not mean that you will experience it, or you may be on the opposite end of that spectrum. You may strongly respond. And so the same goes with heat. You know, everybody is unique and individual and can respond differently to things.
Mm-hmm. What role is it, you are here as a pharmacist, but what role generally do pharmacists play in the creation and the distribution of medicines?
Absolutely. I believe that a pharmacist should be anywhere that a medication is, whether that's from drug discovery all the way to picking up your prescription at your community pharmacy and taking it and helping people understand how that medication works. So pharmacists, there's over 100 different jobs that a pharmacist could have, and that really is anywhere that a medication is, whether that's with doing research with medications, to post-marketing research with drug companies, working in the hospital setting, whether it's in the emergency room, the critical care units, also outpatient clinics too. So just as you see your doctor, your primary care provider, you can also see a pharmacist for education and information about your medications. And then most commonly, we think about pharmacists in the community setting as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think that point about where we're seeing pharmacists as opposed to doctors, and maybe how much more likely we are to see a pharmacist, I think is a good point to be making as we're having this discussion. Catherine, for you, what is it that you do as a pharmacist?
Absolutely. So as pharmacists in general, we're the medication experts. So what I do is provide education to our patients. I make sure that before a medication reaches a patient, that it is the most appropriate medication for them. So there's not a better option for them. But also make sure that it's safe and also effective. So there's different things that we look at and understand, but a lot of what I do when I'm talking with patients is make sure that they're understanding the medications that they're taking, why they're taking them, and all of the side effects that they can experience.
Mm-hmm. And your work in a community clinic setting, how has that familiarized you with the relationship between medications and heat intolerance, like in a real life kind of situation and not merely according to what textbooks may tell you?
Absolutely. So just like I mentioned that everyone responds differently to medications, you see that with individuals talking with them and meeting with them. But also, I work with a lot of older adults who experience polypharmacy. So that's taking multiple medications. And so when you're taking multiple medications that have side effects, you can experience a whole lot more, and those medications can potentially interact and cause worsening of side effects as well. And so when you're talking with patients and seeing these, you really get a better understanding of how different people respond to medications and empathize with them a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So the medications themselves, I understand that selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, commonly known as SSRIs, and beta blockers are the most common medicines that cause heat intolerance. What are these medications typically prescribed to treat?
Yes, so SSRIs are medications typically used for depression, anxiety, mood disorders, things like that. We also can see beta blockers used for a wide variety of things. So from controlling your blood pressure to treating your heart failure to even used off-label to help prevent migraines and treat anxiety.
And so there are a lot of people who are taking medications that fall under these categories. Are there some other maybe less common types of medicine that might cause heat intolerance? And what are those medications taken to remedy?
Yes. So one of the most common ones I like to think of are diuretics or water pills. So those are medications typically used to help people who have excess fluid in them, whether it's caused from heart failure or other sort of swelling disorders. So those can cause heat intolerance just because you are getting rid of all of that excess fluid, and that can lead to dehydration a lot faster than if you were not taking that medication. So people typically take those for heart failure with that fluid overload that comes with that. Another medication class that we see, it's kind of a broad general one. They're called anticholinergics, and those really are the ones that can be the ones that you see more heat intolerance with. So a common over-the-counter medication we see that with is diphenhydramine. So the brand name of that is Benadryl.
Mm-hmm.
For allergy symptoms or for sleep too. But those work, those general class of medications work by reducing the body's ability to produce sweat. And so that's one of the main ways in which our bodies get rid of the heat that we are experiencing in days like today or the summer that we've had.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that maybe some people think of heat intolerance and associate it with older folks. Is that a misconception?
It is a misconception. Anyone can experience these side effects associated with medications, especially if you're taking these medications or you're taking multiple medications that work in different ways to cause heat intolerance. So maybe if you're taking one medication, you may not be experiencing those symptoms as much, but if you're taking two or three or four medications, you may. And so we typically associate it with older adults because we see more medication use, that polypharmacy associated with older individuals.
Mm-hmm. How frequently do you get questions from patients about heat intolerance specifically?
We don't typically get a ton of questions regarding heat intolerance because people are experiencing heat right now. So you don't necessarily notice that you have some of these symptoms because it's hot outside. You think it's just the way that your body is responding to the current day's temperature and the time that you've been spending outside. So it's more so of like a public service announcement more than anything, that to make people aware that their medications can cause these side effects, that they are more at risk for having those symptoms of heat intolerance because of the medications that they're on. And it may not just be how their body is naturally responding.
Mm-hmm. So at what point does a pharmacist then usually come in contact with someone who's experiencing, you know, symptoms, and particularly the severe ones?
Yes. So if you are experiencing severe symptoms of heat intolerance, that would be, you know, dehydration, dizziness, confusion. That would be going to the emergency room and getting pumped full of fluids and getting those taken care of. Pharmacists are educators. So we are the ones that step in and help you understand those side effects that you may be experiencing, those symptoms of heat intolerance. So if you think that you're on one of these medications, I strongly encourage you to reach out to your pharmacist and ask, am I at risk? I'm experiencing these symptoms. I thought it was just heat. What should I do?
Mm-hmm. So the best way then to combat heat intolerance, what are those things that people can do?
Absolutely. Number one, staying hydrated, making sure that you are keeping your body hydrated, especially if part of that heat intolerance can be decreased sweating. Making sure that you avoid going outdoors, especially during peak hours. Staying inside in air-conditioned areas if possible, and wearing light, breathable clothing to help mm-hmm. your body just kind of adapt to the heat.
Yeah. Why is it that this topic, Catherine, is coming up more and more recently? And who, you know, besides someone who has heat intolerance, who needs to be aware of what to do when the symptoms appear or get bad?
Yeah, I think as we are becoming more aware of just what's going on and as we have more access to information about medications and can use those resources, consult Dr. Google, I think people are becoming aware of that heat intolerance exists associated with medications and really just using platforms like social media to share their experience with it. So using resources like, you know, the Mayo Clinic online or just talking with your doctor and pharmacist to help educate you about these and how to take care of yourself when it's hot outside.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we've talked about on the show is the loss of tree canopy and how that affects temperatures. Is there anything that you have been seeing, you know, that maybe we should be thinking about or more aware of given the hyper-local kind of context?
Absolutely. That is a great point to bring up about the lack of tree canopy and shade and areas for individuals spending time outside to take a break and cool off when there isn't a place to go. I haven't seen anything specifically regarding that, but I think it's important to keep in mind the list of medications that you're on. And if you are on one that can cause heat intolerance, to just be mindful that you are setting a timer for when you are spending time outside to make sure you're drinking water or going to a cooler area, because you may not be, your body may not be receiving that heat as well as if you were not on that medication. You may not be sensing it as well.
Mm-hmm. Any last words that you want to impart to people around this topic?
Absolutely. Talk to your pharmacist. If you are unsure if your medications are causing side effects, if you just have questions in general, we are here to help as pharmacists to be those medication experts for you.
Catherine Gilmore is a clinical assistant professor at the University of Health Sciences and Pharmacy in St. Louis. She also works as a pharmacist at a community clinic that serves North City and North St. Louis County. Thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine.
Thank you, Elaine.
This segment was produced by Darius Varner. Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
Thank you.